There's a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Knowing that we can go anywhere with Jesus. The thing that we have to realize as we sing that hymn, that we can go anywhere with him, but he will not go anywhere with us. And some of you say, well, no, he will. No, he won't. It has to be according to his will. Doing the things that are right and pleasing before the Father who is in heaven. Jesus states in the book of Matthew chapter 5 in the verses 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Are you willing? Are you willing to do that exact thing? To let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. There are many people that are not willing, to commit. There are some that have come to Christ and have failed to commit. There are those who have stated in their minds that they have wanted to commit, but yet they have not. But I want to know, not about those people out there in the world, not about those people that have failed by the wayside, but I want to know about you this morning. Are you willing to commit? Commitment is something that we all need to consider. Whether it's commitment to our jobs, whether it's commitment to the world, whether it's commitment to serving God, and whether it's willing to commit to our families. We have many people that have stated in their minds that I am going to do what's right. And I'm not only going to do it when someone is watching, but I'm going to do it all the time, all the time. I was listening to the sermon yesterday that was played on the radio program at 2 p.m. Reference to looking for godly fathers, men that are willing to commit. And I heard this segment, and he's sitting here on this morning. I heard this segment of that sermon reference to a phone call that was made many, many years ago. And the phone call went a little something like this. I don't know what was said on the other end, but I can just imagine. Hey, Tootlum, I'm going to be a daddy. And Tootlum's eyes got wide. And Tootlum passed the phone over to Squirrel and was telling Squirrel the good news about T being a daddy. And ears perked up. You know, I'm a nosy person. I like to ear hustle. And I asked the question in reference to who's going to be a daddy? And Tootlum, you know, not realizing what the question was leading to, he said, T's going to be a daddy. And I said, you think that's a good thing? T doesn't have a job. T don't know the first thing about being a daddy. And let me let you in on a little something else about T. All this excitement about being a daddy, when that child was born, you know what T said? Child's not mine. Child's not mine. You want me to tell you something else about T? T was lying. The baby was a spitting image of T. But I still wanted Tootlum to realize that that wasn't a good thing. That T not understanding the responsibility of being a daddy. Tootlum is Tim, if y'all didn't know. Squirrel is Chris, and T was Terrence. Did y'all get that? Was Terrence. T Terence is no longer with us. Terence obeyed the gospel, never marrying the baby's mama because T really didn't want that commitment, didn't really want to commit to doing what was right. Yes, he realized that this baby is mine, didn't have to go get a DNA and all that right there. All he had to do was look at the head and realize that that baby was his. He loved that child. He loved that child. And that was a good thing. A father is supposed to love his children. Yes, it was wrong for him to lay with that woman and father a child. That was wrong. It was wrong for her to give in to him and to give him what he wanted and to conceive that child. But the child, that's a whole nother story, as Brother Baker was saying the other day. The sin is not in having the baby. The sin was doing what they did in order to have that child. So we have to ask ourselves, and are we committed to doing what God wants us to do in order to be the people that God wants us to be? That's what we have to ask ourselves. The oldest institution, I pointed this out in Bible class this morning, the oldest institution that God has ordained is the family. Is the family. So when a man says, I too want to be a daddy, you know what that man is actually saying? I too want to get married. I too want to do what's right. We have people that are looking at members of the Lord's church. And you know what they're saying? I want to be the type of father that you are. I want to be the type of daddy that you are. And what I want you to understand is when that person is saying that, you must be committed to doing the will of the Father. You must be committed to doing the will of the Father. Let's look at those two verses that were read earlier in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, the verse is 34 and 35. Luke 14, verse 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no use. It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It can't help anything anymore. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What are you ready to hear this morning? Are you ready to hear God's word? Are you ready to make a commitment to doing the things that are right by hearing God's word? That is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Are you willing? Are you willing? In Luke chapter 14, and we're going to look at some verses here as we talk about this commitment. Are you willing to commit to spiritual instead of physical? Are you willing? There's a whole lot of things that we like to do. There's a whole lot of people that we feel partial to. But are you willing to commit to God? Are you willing to say that God is more important than my family? Are you willing to say that God is more important than my job? God is more important to the things that I like to do in this world. God is more important. Are you willing to commit to that? I remember the time, I can probably tell you around and about the exact date in which this happened, and I'm going to do my very best. In the year of our Lord, 1992, that's a long time ago, right? Well, I went a little bit too far. Let's go back to 1990. In the year of our Lord, 1990, a commitment was made to serve God. Not on that day was this individual baptized, but the commitment was made in order to go out and knock doors. The commitment was made in order to go out and talk to people about God's word. And when this commitment was made, this commitment was stuck to. No matter what the family said or no matter what the family had going on, the commitment was to go out and to do what's right. Now, everybody don't have the same ideals at the same time, and everybody's not going to be committed to the same thing at the same time. But if a person has made up in his or her mind to serve God, they have to realize that family is not, let me say this again, family is not first. Well, Brother Spencer, didn't you just say that God, the oldest institution, was family? Yes. But want me to let you know what happened before that family was formed? God formed man. Man, not man and woman, but God formed man, and he told man what he expected out of him. And you know what man was supposed to do when woman came along? Man was supposed to lead that woman in the right direction. Not the woman to lead the man, but man to lead the woman. You know what man did? Man gave in. Man gave in to, this is good. Try it. Right. And Anita always say that Adam should have told Eve what I tell her when she tried to get me to eat something I don't like. I don't want it. I don't want to taste it. And that's what Adam should have been saying, right? Now, Eve, do you remember? Not that I don't want to taste it, not that I don't want it, but do you know what God said? Not to eat of that tree. That's what Adam should have been saying. But Adam didn't do that, did he? At that point, we can realize that Adam was really not committed to doing what God wanted him to do. He gave into the physical instead of looking at the spiritual. He gave into something that God told him not to do. He gave into that thing. And therefore, he had to be punished. And that punishment, not the sin, but death, has been passed to all men. Everybody that's sitting here right now, everybody that's sitting here right now, hearing these words, one day you're going to die. And if you are not right now, and you die and you did not commit your life to God, you're not going to make it into heaven. It's just that simple. Adam could have stayed in the garden throughout all eternity. The garden could still be there with just Adam and Eve and their children, because God was going to allow that to happen, the Bible teaches us. But they could still be in the garden. But because of sin, they were taken out of the garden. So what we have to look at is we have to think about the cost. The cost of following God. Are you willing to do that this morning? To think about the cost. You know, when we get ready to go out and buy a new pair of shoes, we think about the cost. We think about how much are those shoes? You know, how much is that suit? How much is that dress? How much are those pants? How much is it to get my hair done? You know, we went yesterday to this Supercuts or whatever the name of the place is. And I was just curious. Anita put my name on the list to have my hair done. And, well, you know. And they said, do you want to get yours did too? And I said, how much is it? She said, $20. I said, I can wait till tomorrow morning. There's no way I would pay somebody $20 to do this. I counted the cost. I realized that I don't have $20 worth of hair. Why would I allow you to do something that I can do myself? See, we have to count the cost. In following our Lord and our Savior, there is a price that needs to be paid. And we can't say it's too much, because it's going to cost us some things. You know, mom, dad, children. Mama, you act like you don't love me because you're always spending this time talking to people about God's word. Daddy, you act like you don't love me because you're always talking to somebody else about God's word. And then the wife looked at the husband and said, you really don't love the family because you're always dedicating your life to doing the things that God wants you to do. And then even the husband to the wife, baby, you must not love me because you're always spending time down there at the church and doing this for others and doing that for others. And the question in return needs to be said, you must not love God. If you think that I even have to give you an answer for what I'm doing, God comes first. My cousin said one time that his wife was spending so much time at the church building doing this, that, and the other, and he wanted to know what was going on. So you know what he did? He left the house to go see what's going on. That could be a good thing, and that could be a bad thing. Sometimes we have to sit back and we have to listen to what's going on. And then when whatever is going on is right, we have to buy into it. Count the cost. We have to buy into it. What does the scripture say? Going to Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus said, you have to hate your mother and father, not love them at all. No, that's not what he's saying. You have to hate your children. You have to treat them like you have never known them. No, that's not what he's saying. Well, what about your friends? Is he saying you can't have friends? No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that. What he is saying, if you love them more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Why? My wife needs me. She needs me by her side 24/7. She needs me. Is that not true? Yes, it's true. But when it comes time to serving God, you know what? Either the wife comes or the wife goes or she's back home by herself. Children really don't have a say-so in this matter. So I say, others have different views. If you are coming to worship service and your children are home, you're wrong. You're wrong. Your children should be with you. What you're saying is when you allow your children to say, Mom or Daddy, I don't want to go to worship service today. You say, oh, baby, you just lay there. You love your children more than you love God. Your children need to be taught about God. A lot of times we leave it up to the mother to do so. And yes, we have examples in the scriptures. But fathers, the Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that we are not supposed to provoke our children to wrath, but we're supposed to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. When you let your child stay home, you know what you're really doing? You're promoting something that you really shouldn't promote. You're promoting that your child can govern you instead of you governing your child. It's time to get up. But it's time to get up. But then you don't understand. That's when you grab them and you just pull them out of bed. You pull them out of bed. And you want me to tell you what happens from time to time when you do that? And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to share this with you. Dante, he calls me in the morning time and he said, Papa. And I already know what he wants. He want me to come in there and he want me to catch him by his arm and his leg and he want me to drag him out of bed. He loves that. He loves that. But sometimes that other children, they don't want you to drag them out of bed, but you have to make them get out of bed. Someone told me about this thing that they use in order to get people to do what they want to do. They got this spray bottle and they spray them with cold water. And I guess they love it because they keep getting it done to them. We have to realize, though, when we give in to our children, we love them more. When we give in to our brothers and our sisters because of some need that they think they have is actually a want, and we put them before God, we love them more than we love God. Is there anybody in here like that this morning that loves family more than they love God? Think about the question now. Do you love family more than you love God? If that's true, you're not worthy to be a disciple of God. You need to stay right where you are. You need to keep doing what you're doing because you're no good for the kingdom if you love God, if you love family more than you love God. We have to make a commitment. Are you willing to commit? We have to think about it. Or are we willing to commit to the price of discipleship? Are we willing to commit to the price of discipleship? We keep reading there in verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. So there is a price that has to be paid. Jesus paid the ultimate price in order for us to have freedom. He carried his cross. Are you willing to carry your cross today? Or are you willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to leave some things behind me. I'm willing to walk for you. I'm willing to suffer for you. I'm willing to be persecuted for you. Lord, I've counted the cost, and I'm willing to bear my cross. See, the problem is this. A lot of us don't want to give up anything. You know what Jesus gave up for you and I? His home in glory. His home in glory. He gave that up. He was willing to come down here and bear the cross, to go to the cruel cross of Calvary, to be crucified, buried, raised up on the third day so that you and I may have a right to the tree of life. Jesus was willing to do that. Or are we willing to commit to the price of discipleship? That sometimes we have to leave our families in order to do the things that God wants us to do. We have to sometimes change jobs in order to do the things that God wants us to do. We have to sometimes change our interests to do the things that God wants us to do. Count the cost. Count the cost. Well, I'm good at this right here. I'm not so good at that. You know, I have a reputation with the world. I'm not really familiar or associated with what God wants me to do. Learn it. Learn what God wants you to do. Jesus, the Bible tells us, learned obedience. He did what the Father wanted him to do. Obedient to the cross, to be crucified. Are you willing today to count the cost? Ask yourself that question. Are you willing? Are you willing? If you're not willing, you need to become willing. You need to think about these things, and you need to say, you know, I do need to make some changes in my life. You know, my wife, she asks me to do things from time to time, and I have something else I want to do for the Lord, but I say, you know, this is my wife. I see her every day. I haven't never seen the Lord. So therefore, I'm going to do what she wants me to do. Keep acting like that. You will see God, but you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because everybody will see him. And the Bible tells us every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So why not commit to doing what he wants you to do and look at that, look at it and say, I'm counting the cost. I know it's a price, it's a huge price, but I'm willing to pay it in order to be a disciple of our Lord and our Savior. We need to understand that we need to be committed to the standard of the word. Committed to the standard of the word. You know, the world has one way that they want us to live, but God has a total different way that he wants us to live. The world says this is all right. God says, no, it's not. The word says, you know, the world says, hey, who's going to care? The word says that God cares. See, we have to think about that. So we have to count the cost, and we have to look at it, and we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to commit to the standard of the word instead of the world, instead of the world? Well, the world has taught us. Anita was telling me the other day, she reads a lot. She was telling me that the drinking age in a certain city has changed. Changed for one group of people, but not for another group of people. Has God set a age limit on drinking? No, what God has said is a standard. It's a standard. Some people say, oh, one drink won't hurt you. We have to understand what one drink is. One drink leads to another drink and another drink and another drink. Or are you willing to look at the standard of God? Where God said drinking parties is wrong? Where God says drunkenness is wrong? Or are you willing to look at the word of God and say, hey, his word is true? His word is true. I'm going to count the cost and understand that drinking is not what I need to be doing. Drinking is what I do not need to be doing. What about many other sins that the Bible talk about? Well, here's one that many Christians are guilty of. And you may say, no, it's not me. It's such and such. Gossip. And when you say it's not you, but then you start talking about somebody else as them, you know what you're doing? You're gossiping. A lot of people say, well, it's true. Well, just because it's true doesn't mean that it's not gossip, right? You're talking about somebody else. And I've told you from time to time that we can even gossip about ourselves. Somebody don't need to know. Well, let me put it like this. Everybody don't need to know our business. Everybody don't need to know our business. That same sermon on yesterday, Squirrel, this is Chris now. We were talking about something in the home, and he went back and he was telling the person that we said it about. Was it true? Yes, it was true, but he shouldn't have went back and told them. Well, we shouldn't have never said it about them. We need to know that God's word, his standard, is what we need to live by. So gossip is wrong. Gossip is wrong. Premarital sex is wrong. Well, how am I going to know if we compatible or not? She's a female, you're a male, you're compatible. When God told Adam to name the animals there in the garden, he looked and saw that there was not a mate suitable for Adam. So what did he do? He created a female. That's when you know you're compatible. When a male looks at a lady and says, hey, I want her to be my wife. You're compatible. You don't have to know if she can cook. You don't have to know if she can clean. You know that that's who you want. You go get her. Once you get her, guess what? She's yours. He's yours. All that other, it matters, but it really don't matter because we want to do what God's word says. So we have to look at it. What is the standard of God? One woman, one man. Is this subject about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? No. But we have to count the cost. We have to look at these things because we have said in our minds that we're going to be committed to God, and not only in our minds, but in our actions. When we stood before people and we said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you were immersed in a watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life, you said, one woman, one man for life. When I find that woman, she's mine. When I find that man, he's mine. But a woman should not be looking for a man. She should be looking lost so she can be found. Because when a man finds a wife, he's found a good thing. We have to know the standard of God's word. Look at those verses there, 28 and 30 through 32. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? One brick, two bricks, three bricks, four. I don't have enough money to do any more. You did not count the cost. So we have to look at it and we have to count the cost. Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it began to mock him. What was he thinking? I'm going to tell you what he was thinking. He was thinking that he had all the time in the world to do those things. I knew a man who tore down a house. He poured a pad first. He allowed the house to be framed. He took his time. That pad laid there for a while. He took his time. He gathered up his money. He built the house. He did not put carpet in it. He did not finish the framework. He was looking at the money that he had, and he built as he went on. He died without completing that house. But he did his very best. So what we have to do is we have to count the cost. When we say that we want to follow our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, we say, what am I going to give up? Or what do I have to give up in order to follow him? I like doing these things. These things right here, I don't understand why they're in God's word, but I don't really think that I have to commit to not doing those things or doing those things. Why not? If God said not to do it, you're not supposed to do it. If God tells us we're supposed to do it, we're supposed to do it. So we have to count the cost. You're either going to follow him or you're not going to follow him. Look what the Bible says there in verse 30. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. He began to build but was not able to finish. Have you ever set out to do a race? And you began to run? And the finish line is right there, but you have not practiced. You did not exercise the way you were supposed to, and you couldn't make it across the finish line. That's what happens with us many times and many things. We do not count the cost. We have not run this race before. We did not look at the course. We have the course right here of how we're supposed to govern our lives. What we need to count cost, what we need to count, how long it's going to take us to do it. You want me to tell you how long it takes us to get from point A to point B? That's life and death. You want me to tell you how long it takes to get there? It takes a lifetime. Do any of us have a lifetime? You best better believe we do. Each one of us has a lifetime. And the only way that we're going to get to death is that we die. But the only way that we're going to get to heaven is that we have counted the cost and we've done the things that God wanted us to do. Count the cost. Verse 31, of what king? Going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. I said, man, those odds, I really don't know. But when you have the equipment, you know what you can do? You can defeat that person that outnumbers you. 1 against 50. 1 against 50. Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to win? Or how about 1 against 100? 1 against 150. Or how about Elijah standing before the 450 prophets of Baal? One man now. Do you think Elijah counted the cost? Yes, he counted the cost. And you know who won that battle? Elijah won that battle because God was on his side. So we have to count the cost. Look what the Bible says there in verse 32. In verse 32. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Giving up. Man, we really don't have enough men, the manpower to fight you today. Can we come to an agreement? You know what I would say? You started this fight. And since you don't have enough people, you know what I'm going to do? Although that's not the way it's going to be told. You know, you're not going to go to someone and say, oh, I don't have enough people. I can't fight today. You just want to have peace. But somehow or another, somebody's going to find out why you are asking for peace. And they're going to come at you all the more. So we have to count the cost. When you alone in your family have decided to become a member of the Lord's church and you're walking the way you're supposed to walk, your other family members, they're going to come up against you. So you have to consider that when you come to Christ. Count the cost. Do the things that are right before him. Give up some things in your life and say, it's for God. It's God's standard. It's by the standard of the word that I'm doing these things. Not what the world is teaching, but what God has taught. And we're looking at those things and we're being obedient to those things because we want to get in the end. And that end is into heaven. We want to do what's right. So we have to count the cost. Being a disciple is not an easy task. It is not something that everybody desires to do because they don't want to give up anything. But those of us that have decided to become disciples of Jesus Christ, we are willing to go through some things. We're willing to suffer through some things. We're willing to tell our family from time to time, yeah, if you don't want to go, I'm going anyway. Come on, go with me. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's pack up. It's time to move. It's time to move. A lot of times, moves are not what we want to do to relocate our family. But for the cause of Christ, sometimes we have to. We have to relocate. We have to do some things. You think it was easy for Anita and I to pack up from Texas and come here? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We still haven't moved everything here. It was hard. It's difficult. We still have, you know, some furniture back there where we can put into an apartment to service two or three people. Hard to just gather up everything. Y'all say, man, y'all had a lot of junk. I read something yesterday said, we buy junk, but we sell antiques. We have antiques back there. It's not junk. But we have to count the cost. To pack up, to move, to do the will of God. You have to count the cost. And that's what many people don't want to do today. Man, he was running well. What happened to him? The world got to him. He allowed something to discourage him, to distract him. Man, I remember the day when he was out there in the world, he was doing that, and I remember the day when he came to Christ because he said, Christ and life in Christ is much better than the life of the world, and he was running, he was happy, he was doing these things. He didn't always have a smile on his face, but he was ready to give for the cause of Christ. Until one day someone asked him, or let me rephrase that, he was willing to get all that God had to offer him for the cause of the kingdom, for the work of the kingdom. But when it was time one day for him to give back, he said, no, I can't do it. And he fell away. You want me to give all of my time? You want me to tell my mom that I'm worshiping from 10 to 11 or from 11 to 12 and from 5 to 6 and I don't have time to talk to her on the phone? Yes. I can't do that. Because I know some people that are sitting right here, right now. If your phone rings, you're going to look at it. You're going to disturb the congregation and you're going to figure out who's calling you. You're going to see who's calling you and you're going to get up and you're going to walk out talking on your phone. I know that there's somebody here right now, right like that. You said, if it do, man, I sure hope it's not my phone because I know I'm that person. You didn't count the cost, did you? Because whoever's on that other end really don't want anything. But my mom died. What can you do? Someone's had a bad accident. Are you a paramedic? My house is on fire. Are you a fireman? Someone's breaking into my home. Are you a police officer? It'll be there when you get back. Yeah, your house will be wide open, but it'll be there. Your house may be burned down to the ground. Well, it would have been burned down to the ground anyway. Your mom died. You know who they need to call? They need to call the coroner to come and get them. And then after services, you go and you console those individuals that are out without Christ because they have not counted the cost and tell them you too are going to die one day. That's harsh, Brother Spencer. That's truth. That's truth. We need to count the cost and we need to do the things that are right. We need to commit. We need to commit. Are you willing to commit to the teaching the world? Are you willing to commit to teaching the world? Because the world needs you. The world needs us. The world needs to hear the word of God. But I can't teach them. Why not? I don't know what to teach them. Why not? You know what they need to be taught? They need to be taught the word. They need to be taught about the one church. They need to be taught about there is one God. They need to be taught about there is one Lord. They need to be taught that there is one hope. They need to be taught that there is but one baptism. They need to be taught those things because those things are found in God's word. One spirit. They need to be taught those things. But they're not willing to hear it. Have you tried? Have you tried talking to them? My neighbor parties all the time. They don't want to hear the word of God, but you are listening to their music. Do you want to hear that? No. But are they turning it down? No. Well, talk to them about God's word. Don't shut up. Talk to them about God's word. My neighbor, when we was in Colorado Springs many years ago, he used to have his window up. And did he want me to spray him with my water gun when I walked by his window? No. But did I do it? Yes. You know what he did in turn? He went and bought him a water gun and he sprayed me. What I'm trying to say is this. You have no idea what people have an interest in until you talk to them about it. Is anybody here not interested in God's word? If so, get up and leave. Ooh, there's no one walking out that door. And if you were trying to, Brother Brown, to close them because we really want to talk to you some more. God's word is true. We need to count the cost. Are you willing? Maybe you're here this morning. You're not a child of God and you want to become one. Understand this, that you're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to give up some things. You're going to give up your sinful way of living. You know, you may have a good job, but that job may not be right in the eyes of God. You're going to have to give that job up. Maybe you're staying with someone that you should not be staying with. You're going to have to give that up. Am I telling you that there has to be a change? Yes, there has to be a change. You hear the word. You believe the word. You're willing to repent. That repentance is willing to change your ways. Your way of living, your way of talking, your way of walking. Willing to change. Are you willing? Are you willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And being obedient to baptism. Walking after you've been baptized in a manner that God is pleased with. Are you willing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And His knowledge, not your own. Are you willing? If you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation, you're an alien sinner, you have never come to Christ, that opportunity is yours. Maybe you're strayed away. The opportunity for you to come back is yours as well. Are you willing? As we stand and see the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.